At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fan, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. And a Monday after not Preakness weekend. It was a big weekend though. Make no mistake. We don't have the second leg of the Triple Crown to talk about, but we do have the second leg of the Triple Crown officially rescheduled to October, as anticipated and as hinted at by the broadcast affiliate in Baltimore a few weeks ago. That confirmation comes, and meanwhile, everything else that could have happened over the weekend that would lift spirits, for the most part, when it came to racing and racing scheduling and the way racetracks are going to continue to open, the news overwhelmingly good. And when it came to some performances on the racetrack, how about the return of Monomoy Girl on Saturday and then the second start of the year for Bellafini yesterday, winning the Desert Stormer. So the filly and mare division gets a bit of a boost, to say the least. And really nice to have Monomoy Girl come back after 18 months. Significant time away. You're optimistic and everything else, and horse working well, and you know all the things that you're hoping for, and you read the anticipatory quotes from Brad Cox and the team. They still got to go out. They still got to go out and do it. And as we discussed, I think second half of last week, the time to go against a horse like this is now. A horse like that will make a quantum leap forward off of that, and well, she's frankly going to have to catch up to Midnight Visu. But just good to get her back. The return of Santa Anita on Friday lifted everybody's spirits. Then Churchill on Saturday. Just so much of that part of the storylines around the country and north of the border as well. Woodbine getting closer, inching closer within what, 3 weeks, under 3 weeks. We'll go through the latest and we'll spend a good portion of the hour, second half of the hour, talking New York, where the word came from Governor Cuomo that New York equine sport activity could return starting June 1st. Joe Applebaum will join us after the first break, and Pat McKenna from NYRA. And there's a lot to go into the whole relaunch and the season starting at Belmont, the ongoing speculation about Saratoga. But as Joe talked about, 3 weeks ago here, and Pat McKenna as well, the priority was just getting horses running. And this, of course, clears the way as well for Finger Lakes, who in their own way was, had gotten the clearance, last week. We talked to Austin Reed. And so downstate, upstate, and also Standardbred. All the Standardbred tracks can begin to resume. And, in fact, Standardbred industry coming back to life. They were completely blacked out. So the news from New York, then the return of Monomoy Girl, the fact that Golden Gate, Charlestown, Santa Anita, Churchill, all got underway between Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, really, I think, has got to, you know, hearten everybody. Owners that paying bills through this whole thing, trainers that, you know, also under tremendous strain during this, and the racetracks themselves. So this was a quantum leap forward this weekend, without a doubt. And, you know, the handle numbers, it's hard to know what that's going to mean. The dust will start to settle and figure out what, you know, what the numbers all mean. But, I mean, over $200 million, I think, this week. And it's hard to know if some of the money, you know, just will spread out. There's also, I don't know if you saw what Pat Cummings wrote on Friday, but, you know, tried to present the takeout equation and what it means, and the bricks and mortar versus the online bet taking operations, and, you know, the flow of the equine gambling dollar. Some of that's going to have to be visited at some point. But the first order of business had really been just getting going, just getting everybody back to work. A number of things that are buried inside of all this, and that includes a little concern out of Woodbine, where at this time of year, seemingly, you know, over the years we've talked about this, maybe we'll get Dr. Allday tomorrow to talk about the herpes outbreak that, you know, they typically, this is the time of year when they seem to raise their head. And two EHV1 positives at Woodbine. And that, you know, not that the Woodbine horses are going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, they're not even, you know, what, 3 weeks away from getting started. But you know, all ovals. I saw in New York right away. Alert went out too yesterday to horsemen. No horses in from Woodbine, and if you went up there, you're not coming back without, you know, the protocols and the clearance. But this is the, you know, the spring when horses start to move around. This is always when you get, you know, the kind of, you know, equine illness season. So maybe we'll get, we haven't talked to Steve in a while. So that might be a good, and I haven't talked to him even off air. So we'll reach out for Dr. Allday for a Horse Health Today, brought to you by Luberson and Reborn. The other pieces of news that we're going to touch on this morning, and word came from Japan, the passing of 49er David Donk, who was in the barn with Woody Stevens. 449er. David's going to join us, and he will tell you about the big Mr. Prospector colt that, I mean, burst on the scene. Was a first out winner. Eddie Maple rode him beginning of his career through the spring all the way through to the Florida Derby. Included Fountain of Youth wins and Breeders' Futurity win at Keeneland and Champagne, the Futurity, Sanford. And then the second half of his three-year-old year didn't, you know, wasn't as sort of kind of didn't go sideways per se, but beaten in the Derby by Winning Colors, and then the Preakness that went wrong. And certainly, you know what, even if he had been, who knows, at his best, it's hard to believe that, you know, Risen Star, who went from Preakness to Belmont, wins, and one of the biggest wins at Belmont ever, right up there. Risen Star, underappreciated. Not in New Orleans, but 49er being remembered all over the place and appreciated, the middle part gave way to, you know, a strong finish, the Haskell and the Travers wins, and then the Naira Mile win. And I got to reach out to my buddy Phil, because I can't, at first I thought I was there for that, but I the more I think about it, I don't think I was. I'll have to go through. I would have remembered that better. I mean, that was during the jock strike, and I saw him plenty, but I couldn't remember if I saw the Naira Mile, and then finished his career in the Breeders' Cup Classic under Julie Crone. But 49er. And it just turned 35, 10 days ago. The Claiborne homebred. And there's Tom Rolfe. We talked last week about Tom Rolfe, out of a Tom Rolfe mare. And we'll let Sid talk about his, you know, his contributions as a stallion. But 49er champion and exceptional. I mean, there's a lot of, that's one of those horses, I think, that people of a certain age probably became fans, became horse players, became interested in the game. He was that kind of a horse. And you hear his name mentioned very frequently in that vein. So, in addition, another passing. It just feels like the bloodstock trade, the bloodstock world has taken one hit after another. But word came that Chris Caldwell, Keeneland auctioneer, and the son of Tom Caldwell, himself, sons of the whole family, really, was auctioneers. And at just 63, pancreatic cancer. And we're going to hear from, I'm sure, at least one or more with a appreciation of Chris Caldwell. Real widespread sadness. I mean, the consigner and breeder community that, you know, sold horses through Keeneland and they're just pretty well, you know, broken up. And it's been amazing as we've the conversations, it seems, have reached out to Boyd Browning repeatedly with the losses they've suffered at Phasing. But, boy, just 63, pancreatic cancer, which is very, very tough. So we'll get to an appreciation without fail of Chris Caldwell, as well as 49er. The scheduling that I want to touch on and include from over the weekend. One thing that between Churchill's news during the week when we had the visit from Darren Rogers and now with New York ready to go, there's a format, feels like there's a roadmap now for getting to Derby and Preakness. The expectation, and we'll let Pat McKenna from NYRA provide the feedback. The expectation is that you'll have a stake schedule tomorrow or Wednesday, you know, early this week from NYRA. And that'll include, you know, how they're going to handle the Belmont Stakes. I mean, the speculation is rampant. You know, do it during, you know, ahead of Saratoga at Belmont, reduced distance. You can't really ask, you know, you're not asking three-year-olds to go a mile and a half, you know, without progression. That's not going to work. It just seems like it's just, you know, it'd be a fish out of water, really. So there's plenty of speculation about, you know, trimming back to a mile and an eighth. Who knows? We'll see. I mean, there's creative thinking or there's logical thinking. There's all different, you know, and those can be both. But between the Matt Wynn on Saturday and the Santa Anita Derby subsequently on the 6th, maybe a Belmont in the end of June, potentially. The Los Al Derby is July 4th. The Indiana Derby, July 11th. The Haskell, July 18th. We don't know where the Jim Dandy, the Bluegrass, the Ellis Park Derby, and the Travers. Those are in the middle of, you know, the summer miasma. We'll see. The Pegasus, the 8th, which is a mile and a 16th, it's going to get some points. That's August 15th at Monmouth. The Shared Belief, Del Mar, on the calendar for the 25th. Now, we'll see. I mean, they moved that up a little bit. It's a 50-point race. Pegasus is a 20-point race. Ellis Park Derby would be a 50-point race. Bluegrass, 100. Certainly the Travers would be 100. Jim Dandy, probably a 50. Haskell, 100. Indiana Derby, a 20. Los Al Derby, a 20. And Belmont, as Darren told you, 150. Santa Anita, 100. And Matt Wynn, 50, as adjusted the other day. So there's the lead-up to Derby Preakness. And we'll see where Belmont goes. We'll take a quick break here. Got some other news about openings and plenty of race action to talk about back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRFSports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Make no mistake, I don't do anything for free. I keep my enemies closer than my mirror ever gets to me. And if you think that there is shelter in this attitude, where do you feel the warmth of my gratitude? I get the feeling that it's two against one. I'm already fighting me, so what's another one?
We're back. It's 20-ish, 22 into hour one, and want to take a couple of minutes. Joe Applebaum will join us in a moment, but let's give you the lay of the land as it is currently, because there continues to be additional schedulings that are happening, and a couple of pieces that I think may have not gotten wide exposure. That includes Ohio, Belterra, and Thistledown. They can get going now, according to Ohio authorities. And Belterra's barn is the backstretch is going to open May 30th. Training starts June 1, and they expect to race June 4th. And haven't heard Thistledown specifics, but they can get up and going. And there's another meeting apparently today in Anne Arundel County and Laurel. They had the meeting late last week, and waiting and watching for news from there as well to get Maryland open. And the scheduling in Delaware is notable because with the uncertainty in Pennsylvania and the real the alarm bells are going off, to say the least. And as we touched on last week, and we'll revisit it during this week, but Delaware is going to open June 17th, and they're going to run 3 days a week through July 16th, and then they'll add Thursdays mid-July and go 4 days through October 1st. And Delaware would be a logical beneficiary, and Laurel, of Pennsylvania's inactivity. So there's a couple of pieces, and the negotiations continue with Keeneland, looking to run those dates to get the Bluegrass and the Ashland and other things run some point during the summer. So keep an eye on that this week as well. If you hadn't heard, Indiana Grand, June 15th, they're going to run Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. They go till November 18th. And I think that's I think those are the ones that we had not at this point discussed. Yeah, looks like it. So, all right, there's the latest on that front. We'll get Joe Applebaum in here. Ryan Mahan is going to join us to talk about Chris Caldwell as well. Ryan is the director of auctioneers and has worked years and years with Chris Caldwell. So we'll hear from Ryan as well. Cherie DeVoe is going to visit too. How about Cherie? And how about the start of the season at Churchill? A couple of quick hits here before Joe joins us. And Cherie with the two wins on opening day off the turf, and Dinar certainly. In fact, both of the winners, I think, were, yeah, both of the winners were off the turf. And two nice allowance wins. That Dinar looks like there's some real upside to that one. And there were 11 different jocks that won races on opening day, and 10 trainers. In fact, so far in the first 2 days at Churchill, 22 races, 19 different trainers have won. Only Cherie and I think Bill Mott, I know, won a second race, and I think Brad Cox won a second race. Yes. So three trainers with two wins each, and then another 19 with one. And there were some nice performances that we saw over the weekend. In fact, yesterday, Tom Drury with the horse, the Bruce Lunsford, first time. And if you didn't see that, and why can't I find the, as we wait for Joe, where is, there it is, Art Collector. And this was a horse that Bruce Lunsford moved over to Drury from Joe Sharp. And in addition, we watched with amazement yesterday as Flavian Pratt tore things to shreds. It's 6 wins for Pratt, 10 over the weekend to start things out Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He's going to join us tomorrow. But Pratt, 2 wins on opening day Friday, 2 wins on Saturday, and then 6 yesterday. Had a chance to tie Lafitte Pink Eye's 7-win mark in the last. In fact, was on the favorite, but the favorite just didn't fire, never really was competitive. And Mike Smith, actually, off to a nice start. He's had wins all 3 days so far at the meet. And Umberto Rispoli with a really good day Saturday, 3 wins, including a masterful ride on the Sadler winner, the maiden winner on the turf. And also, Dog Tag. We got to get Dog Tag mentioned and discussed at some point. But it was Mark Glatt, and I'm going to reach out for Mark. Mark Glatt, who had the mojo all weekend, including Collusion Illusions performance yesterday, which is was exciting. And in addition, Glatt split the Calbred Stake with Bondi. Bondi with Smiling Shirley, the Smiling Tiger. And when it came to Mark's win, it was with Big Sweep, who looks to have some upside, Kirkorian. And, you know, Mr. Big, is there any place more than California that has got these, the regional stallion phenomena, unusual heat? Mr. Big with limited chances, Square Eddie. And in fact, I don't know if you saw the story, and I can't remember if I mentioned it with Sid last week, Square Eddie, fertility and issues. And so he's been retired, from service, but it's just amazing how often there's been, Cyclotron is another one that, just with limited opportunities, gets runners. And Mr. Big, Krikorian, has produced one after another. Big sweep, wins the Echo Eddie. But Glatt, with the claiming winner on Friday, then three wins on Saturday, and then again yesterday. So look forward to touching base with Mark, who, we've said many times, just does a tremendous job. And we'll get some details. That collusion illusion performance, I'm very curious how that, how that stacks up from a timing standpoint. Let me give Casey's, you're having number trouble, Case. All right, then let me give you another option. I only think I've got one. Yeah. All right, let's try this for Joe Applebaum. And there you go. All right, try that, Case. All right. In addition to what we saw at Santa Anita, of course, and Churchill, Gulfstream had the bad weather. And, the weather-wise, things turned out, even though we were off the turf Saturday at Churchill, the main track is just so remarkable when it comes to drainage. It went from sloppy to sloppy to fast, and I don't know. It was like all of a sudden it went from wet, and next thing you know, they're harrowing. But that you get used to that at Churchill. And by the way, speaking of drainage, at some point we got to reach out, got to ask Glenn Kozak about a visit. They worked on the Saratoga main track. Anybody that lives in the area, you must have seen if you went by the racetrack over the last 3 months, really 2.5 months, there were piles and piles of silt, and there was the whole cushion actually was taken up and was by the 7 furlong chute. And you could see that there was like a pebbly, like a gray stone that was going to be put down. And it sure enough, I asked Glenn Kozak last week about it, and it's a drainage enhancement for the entire racetrack. So Saratoga, I don't know if it'll dry as fast as Churchill, but improved drainage anticipated at Saratoga this summer. And I don't know if anybody saw the pictures, but we had a storm Saturday night come whipping through, as violent and scary out here. There were trees uprooted and power in sections was out for 24 hours. We've lost it for like 2.5 hours, but there was, I won't say extensive damage, not as much as there was a few years ago when the Oklahoma just got, banged around. George Weaver's barn, though, took a tree trunk. Joe Applebaum joins us, and from the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. Joe can probably update us on this topic. And Joe, it's probably a good thing that the Oklahoma training track was not occupied this weekend. Good morning.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, I'm not up on the latest weather in Saratoga, but it sounds from what you describe, it would have been a scary situation.
Well, there was, the what was it, maybe 4 years ago when a bunch of barns were hit, and this wasn't pleasant, but this was not even like a typical upstate New York thunderstorm thing. This was, there was a tornado warning. It was nuts.
Crazy. Reminds me, I think it was that 4 years ago. It could have been even a few years before that, when about an hour before post time, we had a lightning strike in the backyard, and one of the trees came down back where I sit, back by the Big Red Spring, and right near Paul Matisse. And I never saw Billy Battler move so fast in my life, getting out of the way of that tree. We've been very lucky, as you know, that those North Country storms can come on you quick.
Well, I bought some time, as it happens, to repair the barn. Meanwhile, George was winning a race down at Gulfstream, I saw. But let's talk about a couple of different things. And, Joe, the word came from Governor Cuomo that New York can get going. Standardbred, thoroughbred operations anytime, June 1st and thereafter, with protocols. And, you know, we've checked in with you at least twice over the last six, seven, 8 weeks. Talk a little bit about how, you know, how this whole situation has, what kind of toll it's taken and how everybody's gotten through.
Yeah, so I think everyone needs to understand that a lot of this is the result of the work that's gone on behind the scenes for the last, let's say, month or so, after the initial month of braving the storm, let's say, of the virus and getting our safety protocols in place. The last month, NYRA obviously taking the lead, and NYFA and various other people supporting them, been working with gaming, the health department, both in Nassau County and statewide, to make sure we were operating the right way. And just, I think most of the people on your call know this, but we never shut down. Animal care was essential work. We've had 1,400 horses on the grounds. We have 800-900 workers there, and all that work continued. And I think we got to the point where we were able to demonstrate that we're able to operate safely, and also able to demonstrate that the, let's call it the delta between training, let's say, 1,400 horses in the morning and putting 100 of those horses, let's fingers crossed, 100 of those horses on the track in the afternoon is not really that great a additional risk. And NYRA worked through a really strong plan. We're still waiting. I haven't checked the website lately, but gaming's going to put out some further guidance. And people have to realize this is for every track in the state. I think that was important to the folks in Albany, that they're not there to pick winners and losers amongst businesses. They're there to set up a framework under which industries and then businesses within those industries can operate safely. So, you know, gaming and the health department have worked on their plan. They're going to forward it to all the different tracks, and then it's up to the tracks themselves to meet the goals of those plans.
And that's what, you know, that's kind of the spirit of cooperation that and you know, kind of the, I guess, the watchword of what has gone on here, you know, in terms of, you know, the authorities communicating their requirements and, you know, everybody even, in fact, formulating requirements, Joe, and then, you know, having them successfully communicated to staffs and then executing. And I mean, by all rights, this has been, it's actually been remarkable, how smooth, frankly, it's been. Seamless, it seems, the way in which everybody adjusted to whatever dictate came down the pike.
Yeah, I think cooperation is the right word, and that's happened at every level. You're right. NYRA, NYFA, the chaplaincy, BEST, the gaming commission, the health department. We've never worked all together like this as seamless as we have. And then you see it on the backstretch. I was on the backstretch for the first time in like 60 days last week. And I got to tell you, compliance is extremely high. People are doing what they're supposed to. Everyone has masks on. The cleaning is like you've never seen before. We had almost 900 people pre-enroll for testing and get tested on Saturday, thanks to Northwell Healthcare System. They came out. We announced this Wednesday night. This is how fast these things are moving these days, Steve. Wednesday night, we announced the program. Thursday and Friday, we pre-registered almost 900 people, and Saturday, they took blood from over 900 people. This is unbelievable, and this only happens because we're all working together and cooperating as a community like never before. That's grooms and hot walkers, trainers, veterinarians, NYLA, NYFA, the doctors, the gaming commission, the health department. It doesn't happen without everyone being totally focused. And, you know, I think people have gotten used to it's going to be a new reality. We're going to ask people to do things administratively they've never been asked to do before, and that hasn't always been the ethos of the backside, right? It's what attracts guys like me to that environment where I get to wear jeans and I don't have a spreadsheet in front of my face. But, you know, we're going to have to be a little more spreadsheet these days, a little more, you know, focused on the administrative details to make sure we're healthy and to make sure we're showing the world that we're healthy.
Speaking of health, I just want to touch briefly on the financial health of, you know, the horsemen, Joe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we tried to communicate early in this as soon as there were some safety net options from the government. And it, from anecdotally anyway, it didn't seem as if a lot of that support reached, you know, too many operations, from what I could tell. And, you know, the strain had to have been tremendous on the horsemen. How's everybody faring? And well, some thoughts on that end.
Everyone's scratching through. I think, you know, if you're referring to PPP in particular, it's a program we pushed. I think in the initial phase, we did a survey of our horsemen. Only 10% of those who applied got funded. Mm. However, in phase two, when they re-upped for another, I don't know, $500 billion, sorry. I think a lot of guys got funding. I don't have our stats on that to be fair, but anecdotally, a lot more people seem to have gotten funding. But that's just a help, right? One of the problems we have, a structural underlying problem, Steve, is that too many trainers and owners have special deal arrangements, right? And they're reliant on purse money to pay their daily bills. And that's a structural problem we've had now for the last few years that is problematic in good times, right? When you're reliant on, yeah, on winning races to pay your bills, but in an emergency like this, it can be catastrophic. And so that's a problem that we have, and we're going to have to deal with going forward. But I think people have started to see some PPP money come in much more readily than they had, let's say, a month ago. And I think just getting a date in front of us allows people to have serious conversations with their owners and say, okay, we're 2 weeks out. Here's what we need to do to bridge the gap. Here's the help I could use, right? It allows people to plan. And I think that in and of itself will be some of a relief. It's not cash, but it allows you to operate like a business where prior to that, you were just kind of operating with no end in sight.
Well, the restart date, and we're going to talk to Pat McKenna next and get some more overview from the association and some of the, you know, the not just obligations, but some of the elements that are going to go into, you know, the next level and the next layer of decision making for the Belmont season and then for Saratoga. And so, you know, I wasn't going to obligate you to speculate, Joe, on you know, the stake schedule and on the Saratoga situation. I do want to draw attention, as you tried to do over the
sorry, I didn't mean to.
Not at all.
Speculate is the right word, and you know that's a parlor game in Saratoga. In a good year, this year I can't even imagine.
Well, yeah, exactly, and these puzzle pieces will come together. I don't know why it was so tough for people to understand, and I'm sure even you know, over the next several weeks until some of this part, these parts become, you know, more clear. What was the rush and what was the, you know, what was the need to try to feel like, okay, well, when Saratoga starts, you know, in July, this will be the start that the way things are going to be in July are not the way they are now. I mean, this whole thing has been an amorphic, impossible to put your arms around.
Yeah, Steve, I couldn't agree with you more. If we count back 60 days, we're just about 60 days from when this whole thing started, right? From when we shut down. So imagine now, and we're about 60 days from Saratoga's scheduled start date. So think of all the things that have gone on and the ups and the downs that we've seen in the last 60 days to where we're going to be 60 days from now. Hey, it may be much better. It may be a little worse. We don't really know. But the key is let's get open and operating. Why do I say that? One, we have to demonstrate to ourselves, to the community, both downstate and in Saratoga, and to the health department and Albany, that we can operate effectively, operate without incident, and operate safely. Okay? Secondly, and this is important, right, we need to be able to get a testing program in place, right? Expanse, you know, what we did on Saturday is not going to be the last set of tests we do, right? We need to have a testing program in place. Horses move around. People move with those horses. We want to be able to give the communities, whether it's Elmont, Long Island, or Saratoga, or Ocala, or wherever our people go, or wherever they come from, we need to make sure they feel comfortable that, you know, that we're going to be safe and that their communities are thought through. These things are hard, and they take time and lots of planning. So we have 60 days to go to Saratoga. Let's get Belmont open. Let's operate. Let's show the world how good New York horse racing is, and we'll figure it out. You have a lot of people working really hard on this.
No doubt. And Joe, before we go, and I bring Pat McKenna up, I want to bring attention to the video that you were linking up and making sure that people get a chance. I'll send the link to it out. It really a tribute and moving and the people everywhere that have not just in New York but the backstretch communities and everybody that works to take care of the horses. Have been just remarkable.
Well, it was so wonderful. I wrote on Twitter that I actually choked up, and I'm not exaggerating. When I first saw that cut, when they sent me the initial cut, Tom Durkin, Ernie Munich, for those, I mean, Tom's famous, Ernie a little less so, but should be famous. They are just an amazing combination, and they did such a wonderful job, and the video is just an expression of all the work that people have been doing, and that's grooms, that's trainers, that's medical staff, that's NYRA folks, that's Will, the new executive director. You got to have him on, Steve. He would be a great guest for
sure.
You. And our teams have just worked so hard through this and worked so well together that seeing that it really choked me up, because it's just been so much selfless work and to get to this point. And I was so thrilled at the reception it got and our ability to express ourselves, which has been one of the great frustrations, right? We haven't been able to put our horses on the track. We haven't been able to show the world what we're doing back there. I thought it was a great job.
No doubt. And I'll send the link, and people will appreciate it, undoubtedly. Joe, anything else you need to communicate? We should send people to the website as well if they need anything. NYTHA, NYTHA.com. What other topic?
No, that's. Is there, yeah, to that's touch it. On? We're working we're going to work our tails off to get ready for the reopen, working with NYRA, with gaming, with the health department. You know, I want to thank, there's all sorts of kind of unsung heroes that no one knows about. I'll give you, you know, like John Klein, the head of NYRA security, the volunteers at the chaplaincy, our best staff. You know, there's all sorts of people toiling behind the scenes to keep the engine running, keep the ship moving forward, and making sure we're ready to go. I'm sure I'm missing dozens of others, and they'll have to forgive me. But there's a lot of people who are just working like we'd all be very proud of. And I think that's important to recognize. For owners and trainers out there, or even fans who have questions, contact us. NYSA, we're still open for business remotely, but we're answering every phone call and every email. And you know, we're excited to get back on track in early June.
Joe Applebaum, everybody, J.A. Goods on your Twitter, and follow Joe. And at some point, too, we'll maybe in advance of the coming sales season that is going to reboot here in just a couple of weeks, we can get Joe's perspective, of course, off the hook, Joe's pinhooking operation. Joe, thanks so much. Well done.
Steve, thank you. Keep everyone, you're doing a great job keeping everyone informed. It's certainly trying for us all these times, but thanks for having me.
No, not at all. I appreciate everything that's gone on, not just at NYTHA, but really everywhere, nationwide, every backstretch. And you know, we also don't even get a chance to really talk about the farms that, you know, have had to keep you know, maybe two-year-olds, you know, keep them on the treadmills and, you know, while they had to wait before they could ship them to their respective barns. Another person that has been fielding the line drives and turning double plays and so forth in his role as communications director for the New York Racing Association, Pat McKenna, joins us. Pat, good morning.
Morning, Steve. If I had known that I was going to be following up with the great Joe Applebaum, I'm not sure I would have agreed to come on. What can I possibly add?
Well, the perspective from the association is and some of the some of the things that because you know what Joe was doing and what you know what Martin Panza and Dave O'Rourke and you know a lot of the you know the association management has had to deal with, you know, they're on parallel tracks, and you know now I think a lot of people are going to look to NYRA for the next level of answers, whether it's Belmont Stakes and how that's going to be handled. And I suppose the two things that we were curious about today were, you know, who helped make this happen? And then, you know, where are we when it does come to the spring season at Belmont and getting the Oklahoma opened?
Sure. You know, first of all, we'll, you know, we're finalizing those details as we speak, as you can imagine. And we'll have an announcement as to the specifics of the revised, condensed Belmont spring-summer meet, as well as additional information on the 2020 Belmont Stakes. So that should be coming in short order, as we said over the weekend, when we got the fantastic news from Governor Cuomo that he would be authorizing horse racing as well as auto racing to return without spectators beginning June 1st. You know, to your point, you know, a lot of efforts obviously to communicate with the relevant folks on the state. And, you know, we certainly appreciated the support of all the elected officials in every area where we operate, not only in and around Belmont Park with folks like Senator Kaplan, Todd Kominsky on the state Senate side, Mikhail Szilagyi on the assembly side, and then even in Saratoga, where they're just as interested in seeing NYRA return to live racing as quickly and as safely as possible, obviously emphasizing safety. And that was always the first and most important question whenever we were involved in these conversations. Explain to us, NYRA, why you guys feel so confident that you can do this safely. And the answer to that was always you know, in addition to the host and the exhaustive safety and security protocols we will seek to put in place and we will have in place when we resume live racing without fans and with only essential employees on the property, we've been doing this. We've been operating a training center with, now up to about 1,500 horses at Belmont throughout the pandemic. It's what makes our business unique. I'm sure I've said it to you in the past, and I feel like I've been saying it repeatedly, but it's absolutely the case that we do stand apart from so many other businesses and industries. This agricultural work that goes into keeping horses fit and healthy and safe is the very definition of an essential service. So the hardworking people, horsemen and women, backstretch workers, at it every single day, 7 days a week, through the height of this pandemic in New York, downstate, and to this day. So that work has never stopped, and what it's done has been able to inform the safety guidelines that that we continuously update as guidance changes, and that guidance has absolutely changed throughout the process. So it was, I think, an educational process for so many people to get to understand what it is that we do all the time. Again, why we're so confident that we can return in this limited fashion to, to provide some sense of normalcy. I even had some of the live golf on yesterday from Seminole with Rory McIlroy. No crowds. They were even carrying their own bags. But just to see a sport that you knew was live and not on tape, kind of brought you back to some small sense of normalcy. I think the governor is very interested in, as he said specifically on Saturday, areas that can promote a return to normalcy, some economic activity, in a way that's safe. And horse racing and, auto racing are perfectly situated to do that. So we're glad and we're thrilled. Most of all, thank the horsemen, thank the backstretch workers for their dedication, because we would not be here without them, obviously. There's certainly some points in time over the last 2 to 3 weeks where you start to feel impatient. And again, for good reason, because we're working on their behalf to get this thing started again and to start down the path to this new normal that collectively we're all about to get into. So that's where we are today.
Pat, as part of, again, a part of the next steps, is there beyond the stakes schedule and the Belmont meet, I did note that getting Oklahoma opened and getting training upstate set was kind of on the next round of agendas. Where do we stand there?
Sure, and these are all now parallel tracks, right? We don't have the luxury of time, even though it feels like some of these things may be a bit far in the distance, considering how each day feels in this sort of an emergency. But we're working closely with the New York State Gaming Commission to determine the appropriate date to open up the Oklahoma training track.
Very good. I kind of felt like, I think I responded to somebody that it felt as if getting Oklahoma open would kind of be a beachhead, a symbolic beachhead toward coming upstate for the Saratoga season as well. It seemed to Governor Cuomo seemed excited about having Saratoga at Saratoga.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it was, everyone saw that he included Saratoga Racecourse in the list of tracks that are authorized to resume live racing operations as of June 1st. I also want to emphasize that we've been deep in conversations with Saratoga officials on the public health side, elected officials, the business community, for weeks now. Again, to the idea that these now absolutely have to be sort of parallel planning tracks. We, to communicate the plan. We would never do anything up here that would add risk. You know, we care about Saratoga. We care about this community as much as anyone. It's incredibly important to NARA, not only on the business side of the equation and the importance of the race meet, but this has been, you know, this has been our summer home for decades, and we feel a part of this community. And that's why these conversations are so important. You know, the plans that we'll have in place, we'll put in place at Belmont, certainly will have applicability up here at Saratoga, keeping in mind that this is a different setup. You know, the physical plant is obviously different, but luckily we have, you know, we have folks in place like Glenn Kozak and Peter and everyone else who will assure that that we're doing all the right things in the right way.
Well, the best part of the weekend, in a lot of ways, was hearing that the Belmont season was going to get underway, and you know, that went a long way, I thought, to lifting spirits industry wide. As has been said so often, Pat, you know, a vibrant racing product in New York is very important to the whole, you know, the whole well-being of the industry. In the meantime, the TV production continues to drive the, you know, the weekend coverage nationwide, and another couple of days of wall-to-wall action, including Churchill coverage. Yeah. And as Andy told us on Friday, every day of the Churchill meet, and then as soon as, you know, we get going at Belmont, it's going to make for some really fun afternoons of coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to back it up a little bit, Steve, I think it's, you know, to your point about obviously the racing product, but you know, for folks who may drop in and out and pay attention to some Saratoga and get on the Triple Crown train and the rest of it, people are surprised to hear about the depth of the economic impact generated from the racing industry. Like I heard you at the end of your conversation with Joe, you're talking about hundreds of small businesses, family-owned farms in nearly every county in the state, thousands and thousands of hourly workers who depend on the purse money that can only be distributed through live racing to take care of their families, put food on the table, sustain these small businesses that, you know, that are really the heart of the sport that we love.
Pat McKenna, everybody, PC McKenna on Twitter, and we'll probably hear from maybe from Martin or Andy will be on with us tomorrow, of course, but we look forward to hearing the specifics of the Belmont meet, the stakes schedule, and where we go from here. So Pat, great job keeping everybody placid as possible, and fielding all the requests and answering the same questions. I'm going to guess, what's the over-under? 8,000 times over the last 8 weeks? About 1,000 a week?
Maybe. Anyway, thanks for having me on, Steve.
Pat, be well, and Pat McKenna, everybody. And I'm putting Pat's name up as well on the NYRA link that if you haven't seen the video, you really will enjoy it. And the NYRA staff and the amazing Ernie Munich that, as Joe cited, and Tom Durkin, the very familiar voice of New York racing for as long as, you know, as long as for most of our lives as fans, players, stakeholders, you'll really enjoy this. Top of the hour upon us. Let's take a break. When we come back, actually, we're going to stay in New York because Dave Donk is going to join us. Honk if you like Donk. And David Donk was in the barn with Woody Stevens. And who else was there at that time? Probably Phil Gleaves. And certainly, I don't know if Pat Reynolds, if Pat had gone on his own yet. Phil may have actually gone on his own. Denise Stampinato who was the head of the Horseman's bookkeeper. She was an exercise rider for many years for Woody. And all of them that had a chance to be around 49er, Dave is going to speak for them. I also exchanged a note with Eddie Maple. And Eddie, of course, at the beginning of 49ers' career, the first, I don't know, eight or nine starts of his career. And Eddie is tied up. We'll hopefully at some point get a chance to talk to him. But and he's got family obligations that some of you are probably aware of. I actually was not. And best wishes down to Eddie Maple and family. Let's take the top of the hour break. We'll come back. David Dunk, talk about 49er.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Serious.